Chapter four, Nehemiah chapter four. King's Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter four, we're going to read the whole chapter. Now it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it from themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was near him and said, "Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down." Notice the sarcasm there. "Hear, O God, how we are despised. Return their reproach on their own heads and give them up for plunder in a land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out before you, for they've demoralized the builders." So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on, and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry. All of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. Thus in Judah it was said, "The strength of the burden bearers is failing, yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall." Our enemy said, "They will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work." When the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, "They will come up against us from every place where you may turn." Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. From that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates, and the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the other holding a weapon. As for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we carried on the work with half of them, holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. At that time, I also said to the people, "Let each man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem, so that they may be guarded for us, so they may be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day." So neither I, my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes. Each took his weapon even to the water. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. And God, we just pray that we would learn from Nehemiah and his leadership. And we just ask, God, that you would just bless this morning. God, we ask for your grace to cover us. And we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is encountered with a really tough moment. He's given him a vision to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that was destroyed. He wanted to renew the faith of the people. But however, just like any project that God might give us, he faced some very huge obstacles. Because there are people who did not want to see this project to be accomplished. And they didn't want to see the walls rebuilt. And so they did everything in their power to stop it. They wanted Nehemiah to be so discouraged by the enormity of this project, and they wanted Nehemiah to just stop. And so one of their methods is ridicule. And so they begin to ridicule Nehemiah, like, you know, this project is too big, you know, and that famous line, you know, even the foxes, if they jump, they're going to break it. You know, it's an ancient sort of ridicule, but I guess it was funny back in their day. You know, they're saying, you know, all of these sarcastic remarks, you know, ridicule, and you notice there's taunting and things like that. And so, you know, you find usually taunting just on a athletic field, but there's taunting when it comes to, you know, projects and things. And so, you know, they're saying, you know, you surely can't build it, you know, you're nothing, things like that. And I find that one of the schemes or the tactics of the enemy is to taunt You know, even Goliath, you know, when he was opposed by little David, you know, begin to taunt the Israelites. And so there's this idea where the enemy likes to taunt you. And so maybe, you know, you're hearing these taunts and these ridicules from the enemy or from yourself. And that could be discouraging. And so we continue in verse 10. And you notice, I want to start with verse 10. You notice that the strength of the burden bearers is failing, yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. And so they've been rebuilding the wall, and they've been worn out. They're tired. They've been working hard, and it just seems like things are going nowhere. They've lost their zeal for work. And in verse 6, there's a detail that is quite fascinating in verse 6. And it says, so we rebuilt the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height. For the people had a mind to work. And so the people wanted to work, and they reached the halfway point. They reached the halfway point, and at the halfway point, that's where they have this revelation or understanding that their strength is weakened, they're tired, they're worn out. They look around, and they see so much rubbish around you, and this is when they begin to get discouraged, right at the halfway point. And I notice many times in life, I think that's the place where we get discouraged in regards to completing or fulfilling a vision that God has given us. We start off, we get excited in the beginning, and we get excited at the end, but it's at the halfway point where we begin to look around us and see all the rubbish and all the rubble and all the problems and all the situation. I mean, because the question is, was the rubbish there in the beginning? Of course it was there in the beginning. But now they've worked hard, and they're at the halfway point, and they're getting really discouraged. If you ever, you know, when I was younger, and now taking my own child, you know, we go on hikes, you know, up at the peak, and there's that circular path, you know, my wife is telling me about the stories of how Elijah and some of the other kids went on this peak path, and they would get around halfway, and then, you know, they would complain of being tired or having to go to the bathroom or whatever. But, you know, the kids are excited at first, and then they reach halfway, and then now they want to go home. You know, and it's like, well, you've reached the point of no return. You've gone halfway, and it's the same distance to finish it. It's the same distance to walk back, you know, to the beginning. And I feel like that's for a lot of us where we're at the halfway point, where we're at the point of no return, where we just got to go through. Remember running a race when I was younger and wanting to finish, but at the halfway point, I wanted to give up. But it's like if... you know, I already ran, you know, 12 miles. I can't go back, you know, and I got to run another 13 or 14 to finish. But that's where you get discouraged, and discouragement loves the halfway point. You know, I don't know if you've experienced this, but, you know, maybe if you've ever purchased a car or anything and you're really excited, you know, that new car smell and things like that, and you're making your payments, and then you're driving, you've had it for a few years, and when you get tired of your car, thinking of wanting a new car, you know, probably at the halfway point of your payments, probably, you know. And I've heard, you know, for some people in their marriages, you know, they have a great honeymoon, you know, they start off well, and when do they get tired of their marriage? You know, at the halfway point, you know. And for men, one of the most discouraging times is called this midlife crisis, right? You know, in their 40s or 50s, and you know, they decide to get motorcycles and just you know, go crazy and things like that to the discouragement of their wives. But the point is, when do men get most discouraged? It's this halfway point, right? And where are we in terms of this message? We're at the halfway point. Anyways. Why do we get discouraged? In a nutshell, it's because we take our eyes off of the Lord. See, because the people complain in verse 10 about all the rubble, you know, and so instead of focusing on God and his vision, they begin to look around them. They were worn out. They were discouraged. And so if you focus on all the rubble in your life, then you're going to reach the halfway point and be so discouraged. And if you look at the junk and if you listen to others, you're going to be discouraged. And so I want us to be God gazers and not rubble gazers, to look at the Lord and see what he thinks of everything. And so Nehemiah does that. He guides them back. Right? He says, do not, in verse 14, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great. He's awesome. And he says, there's more at stake than just building some wall. I want you to fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. I mean, this is like the original Braveheart like speech. You know, this is crazy powerful stuff. You know, fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. That was the horrible accent. But you know, here's this idea that there's more at stake than just putting some bricks on a wall. You know, fight for your families and your posterity, for your future, things like that. There's an anecdote. Robert Louis Stevenson, who's an author, was told about a ship being swayed mightily by waves, and the passengers were frightened by the turbulence, and so they huddled together, you know, on the ship, and one of the passengers decided to go see the captain to see what's going on. Things like that. And so he worked his way up to the area, and he could see the captain through the big window. And the captain had noticed the passenger gazing out in the window, saw the fear in his face. So seeing how afraid the man was, the captain threw him a big smile. And so the passenger, you know, returned and went back to the others, and he said, "Hey guys, it's going to be okay. I just saw the captain, and he was smiling." You know, and the point is, during the turbulence, during the midst of the storm, he looked at the captain and he said, "The captain's not afraid. The captain's in control. The captain's smiling." And so, so he was rest assured. And so what happened was the Jews were instead of gazing their eyes upon the captain, the Lord of hosts, they began to look at their turbulence and their situation. And so I noticed that peace. Peace is not found in the absence of trouble. Peace is found in the presence of God. I think a lot of times in our prayers, and I think it's okay in the midst of your storms and your trial. You know, I think if God changes our situation, it's like, I find peace. But I begin to see in the scriptures that peace is not found in the absence of trouble. Peace is found in the presence of God. So you could be in any situation. You could be in the halfway point. And you're going to find peace in the presence of God. And so Nehemiah, he arouses the people in their spirits, and he says there's too much at stake. And when Nehemiah sees the potential of the project being finished, everyone else just saw the problems that were coming upon it. And so he warns them in verse 12. They're going to, "Hey guys, if we don't do this, they're going to come up against us from every place where you turn." And so now God, Nehemiah gives him God's sort of sense of purpose. And I love it. In verse 14, it says, "Don't be afraid. God is with you." And so this morning, and it's awesome that this inspires them. And he says in verse 17, "Those who were building the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the other holding a weapon." I mean, can you imagine these guys, you know, taking their bricks one-handed? You know, this is an amazing, these are studs. I mean, they're working with one hand and they have a sword, and so it's like, "All right, guys, come on." And, you know, just amazing. there's a Korean term called ajushi power. These guys had ajushi power, man. They're just one-handed, you know, just working. It's crazy. And then they're fight. But in any case, it's easy to forget God when things are tough. And I think we just need to be reminded that when you guys are at the halfway point of God's vision, to keep your eyes on the Lord and not on your rubble. And so when you're down and discouraged, focus on the one who's able to do something about it. And so this morning, I want us to, whatever you're going through, to not look at the rubble, to fix our eyes on God, for He is greater, He is stronger, He is more able to do anything, and our God will fight for us in verse 20. The trumpets will sound, and God will be for us and not against us. And so look to Christ. And so let's pray this morning. Jonah, when he was discouraged, said, "When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord." When discouragement and sickness and financial difficulty and heartaches and family problems and defeat come, remember that the God of the mountain is still the God of the valley. Our God who is stronger and our God who is filled with grace is always with you. And may you hear the words of Nehemiah, that our God will fight for us. And maybe that's the word of the Lord for us this morning. Maybe that's the word of the Lord for you, that our God will fight for us. And as we pray and intercede this morning, may you just ask the Lord God to fight on your behalf against the principalities of the air. God, you will fight for us. So let's declare that today as we pray and we worship and seek his face.
I will lay down my life for the love. sacrifice you gave to me. It's all because of you, all because of you. God, I know, God, I know, righteous and holy. God, I know, faithful and true. Righteous and holy, church he knows, faithful and true. Church he knows, the tower of refuge. Hearts are healed, cries revealed. The church he knows, light of the city, the church he knows, strengthens the weak. The church he knows is strong and mighty as he is. So are we.
As we pray for those who are sick and ill, let's not give up. Maybe we're at the halfway point of answered prayer. And so let's lift them up, those with cancer and going through chemo. And let's just pray and ask the Lord to come and heal. And so let's lift them up right now. Let's pray. For those who are sick and still not believers in the Lord, and ask the Lord to just reveal himself. And so let's pray for them. For those with other ailments and sickness, and let's ask the Lord to inhabit their bodies and fill them with his presence. And so let's pray for them right now.
God, we lift up blessing, Lord. Just thank you, Jesus.
Let's lift up those who are looking for jobs and employment, and let's ask the Lord to open doors and provide opportunities and connections. So let's lift them up right now.
Lord, just pray, Father, for hires. We pray for interviews, God. We pray, Father, for just a quick answer, Lord. To those who've been waiting, Lord, we pray for Katharina, Lord, for her interviews coming up today. And Lord, just pray, Father, for wisdom.
Pray for our mission focus for today, and let's lift up our local ministries here in Hong Kong. So let's they're listed on the screen. So let's pray for them and ask God to truly bless our local ministries and our local churches here. So let's lift them up in prayer.
Father, we just pray, Father, for just unity and strength in the local churches here. God, we just ask God that that Hong Kong would come to know Christ, Lord. Pray, God, that you would bless the leaders, God, and Lord, we just pray for you and bless the different local ministries here in Hong Kong. Lord, we just pray, Father, for SSI, Lord, for Shanti, for our masses. We call forth, God, fruit from their ministries here in Hong Kong as they have left their homeland to come and serve the people here. Lord, we just pray for the Red Light District, God. We pray for face to face. Let's pray for food that hungry. We pray for Christmas Islander worldwide. God, we just ask, God, for your hand to be upon them, God, that you provide, Jesus. Lord, we pray for our Rwanda. Lord, we ask, God, that you continue to give her strength, Lord Jesus.
Let's pray for our Hong Kong government and for just righteous governance over our land. And so let's lift up our leaders as the scriptures instruct us to do. And so let's pray for our government officials. Let's lift up the missions committee, and as the Lord directs our church to different ministries all over the world, let's ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance, and let's pray for our MC right now. So let's lift them up. Pray for our local outreach ministries and our teams, and so let's ask the Lord to build them up, that they wouldn't be discouraged as they go out to the field. Let's ask the Lord for protection against the enemy, and let's ask for a harvest to come as they reach out to our community. So let's pray for our local outreach teams. Let's pray for McCain House Church today as their meeting, and let's ask the Lord to use them to build community, to strengthen them. And so let's pray for McCain House Church.
Father, we just thank you for McCain House Church. Lord, let your light shine upon that group, Lord. And we just pray, Father, for our community, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you that the story isn't finished yet, Lord, that though many of us are halfway to the fulfillment of your promise and your calling, Father, we just want to continue to take our eyes and fix it on you, Jesus. You are the author and perfecter of our faith, God. And Lord, whatever rubble or rubbish that is in our lives, God, we want to just fix our eyes. Would you give us that peace? Would you give us that strength? Would you reignite us today, God, for this weekend? We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.